Hi, I'm Ben Miller from University Relations here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and we're a proud sponsor of WISP Politics and WISP Business Podcasts.
You're listening to WISP Business, the podcast, Wisconsin's business news source. Now, here's your host.
Hi, everybody. This is Alex Smoke here for WISP Business, the podcast. Today, I'm joined by Jennifer Gottwald. She's the Director of Licensing at the Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation. Jennifer, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Alex. It's great to be here.
Sure thing. To start off, can you just give us an overview of what you do here at WRF?
Sure. I've been at WRF many years now, and I work in licensing of biotechnology technologies. So I am responsible for having industry contacts in the biotech area and letting them know about great new inventions we have here at the university, convincing them to develop products out of them, and negotiating the contracts under which that's going to happen.
Sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I understand that you'll be speaking at an upcoming event here in Madison, and that's really what I wanted to start off with talking about today. Can you just give us a sort of a preview of your comments there and really explain what the Madison Women in IP group is sort of all about?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So the upcoming event is going to be January 24th at Foley and Lardner Law Firm, 11:30 to 1:30, and we'll have the link. It's sponsored by MadWIP, which is Madison Women in Intellectual Property, a loose organization here in Madison that's been going for a couple of years. I'm going to be speaking at this luncheon along with UW professor Trish Devine, and we're going to be speaking about unconscious bias and the effects it's having. The part I'm talking about is the effects it's having specifically on patenting. So a lot of people don't realize this. Patenting is great. You make an invention, you file at the US PTO, and you get to protect your invention for a limited amount of time and say who can use it. When they've actually started to look, maybe about 10 years ago, at who is patenting, we have found there is a great dearth in women applying for patents or having patents issued to them. We probably also have issues with other underrepresented groups getting patents as well, but right now all they can measure is gender because they're applying naming algorithms to patent data to try to figure out what gender the inventors are and then seeing who's actually getting patents. It's kind of interesting.
Wow.
So they started measuring this and found that in about 2016, maybe 20% of the patent applications at the USPTO had at least one female named on them. To contrast that, it's up in the 90s of how many have at least one male. So it has been improving at a very slow rate, but at the rate we're going right now, we're not going to have a woman named on at least 50% of patent applications until about 2072, 2092, somewhere in there. So why is this a problem? If people wanted to apply for patents, they would apply for patents. But really what's happening is that a system was set up for people who were in the science jobs and the technology jobs a long, long time ago when it mostly was a more homogeneous group. And that system doesn't necessarily fit what we're doing today. We're getting more and more women in science and engineering, especially at the university level and in companies. But they often are not the people who are recognizing themselves as inventors or going through the disclosure process and filing for patents. And as a country, we're missing a lot of really, really great inventions out there that could really improve our GDP and solve a lot of the world's problems if we could get some of these ideas into a patented state where they can be developed by a company.
Certainly. It's hard to argue with the idea that more diverse ideas lead to better outcomes and great innovations. And I'm interested also, you laid out such a big issue there. What are some ways that that can be improved?
So it's interesting. We've been aware of this at WRF for a while now, and I think other universities and companies. And there are some best practices that are out there, definitely. And I'm speaking in broad, broad brushstrokes here. But women in general don't see themselves as inventors. Men are more likely to identify as inventors. So getting to kids, not only at the early stage and letting them see all different kinds of inventors so every kid out there can identify with somebody who looks and acts like they do, but then also even at the university stage, letting people know that they are, that everybody's got ideas, everybody is an inventor, and that we want to hear their ideas. Another thing is women tend to try to make something perfect before they go on to the next stage. That's totally against how you do patenting. You have to get to the patent office when you have just enough information before anybody else does and before you've talked about it publicly. So you have to convince women, no, it's good enough right now. You should tell us about this and we can do something with it. You don't have to cross all the T's or dot all the I's. Mm. Women are also not as likely as men to be in networks with other inventors, so we're trying to create more networks that go on. To help women see themselves in inventors and know what the process is like. And there's got to be more transparency to the whole process. Women also tend to, when they sign up to commit to something, they want to know exactly what that commitment's going to be. And patenting can be a long and arduous process. We get inventions from people on campus, and then we're still contacting them 5 years later about arguments with the patent office. So we want to be upfront about that and let somebody know what they're in for, letting them know we're going to do the heavy lifting, but we will need their help along the way and letting them know what they're signing up for.
And I think we should leave it there for now, but thanks again so much for coming on the show, Jennifer. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Alex.
You've been listening to WISP Business, the podcast. Now stay tuned for a word from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Ben Miller from UW-Madison, and we're a proud sponsor of WISP Politics and WISP Business Podcast. UW-Madison is one of our state's greatest economic engines, accounting for $15 billion in economic impact statewide. UW-Madison is working for Wisconsin.